Oneself. Have you received it? Do you know of it? Has God shown you your own heart? That's what the Bible teaches us. Two great truths. If we study it and we seek the Lord with all our hearts, it teaches us and makes us a student of our own heart. And then when we understand our own heart, we understand that the wickedness that lies in it, we can then understand our great need of the Savior. And so as we read earlier in Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 53, it was written hundreds and hundreds of years before the coming of Christ, the Savior of the world, the Messiah. It tells in graphic, perfect detail of his sufferings, of his crucifixion, of his death, of his resurrection. And it tells us, doesn't it, in perfect detail, of that. And as we read earlier in Leviticus, of the graphic sacrifice that he would have to undergo, he would be rejected of his own people. We read earlier in Isaiah 53 that the Lord Jesus Christ would be as a root out of a dry ground. We think of David, the line of Christ, the earthly lineage of Christ. He was plucked from the sheepcote, as it were. And he was made into this great king. And of course, Solomon, with all his majesty, came and was known throughout the world. And so this great family, as it were, and yet it dwindled right down to a poor, despised carpenter, Joseph, and his wife, Mary, who's soon to become wife Mary, in Bethlehem. This was a root out of a dry ground. The days of illustrious King David and Solomon were over, and the family line had dwindled down. It had declined down to this root out of a dry ground. They were despised in the world's eyes. Mary herself, when she understood that the Savior of the world was to be born, through her, she said, "The Lord have taken away my reproach amongst men." The world looked upon Joseph and Mary as despised. They were looked upon mean. Carpenters didn't earn much. They were poor believers, despised. And the Savior of the world would come from such a family as this. How contrary to our culture is this? He didn't come from some illustrious family, as it were. He came from a poor, despised carpenter and his wife in Bethlehem. What good thing can come from Nazareth, said one of the disciples. And so, for today's sermon, I would like for us to particularly look at verse 6 of Isaiah's report and prophecy, Isaiah 53:6, so to see what truths and what application we can draw from it and we can glean from. God's word says in verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Let's read that once again. Isaiah 53:6, God's word says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him," that is on Christ, "the iniquity of us all." What does God's word liken us all to here? It likens us to sheep, doesn't it? To sheep. How stunningly accurate and perfect is God's most holy word. We are all, every single one of us, doesn't matter where you come from, how you've been brought up, we are all likened to sheep, a timeless and yet universally recognized animal, does the Lord God liken us to? Do you know that sheep are by far the most resourceful animals on the planet? Do you know that? They are incredibly resourceful. We see them so much, especially in Devon here, on the countryside. And we take for granted how resourceful that they are. We are all here clothed because of sheep's wool. We get our meat from sheep. Of course, it's quite expensive. Lamb, it's a delicious meat. But we get nice meat from sheep. Most of the world's wool production comes from sheep. So clothes from knitwear, such as socks and jumpers and suits and a whole host of our clothes come from sheep. Sheep's wool is used within the furniture trade. Our brother can tell us that, being in that particular trade. Like chairs and furniture and upholstery and so on. Not to mention carpets and mattresses and blankets and insulation for the house and countless other products we get from wool. Sheep also produce a fatty substance called, if I'm pronouncing this right, lanolin, which is found naturally in sheep's wool. And I found out this once a long time ago when I came back from church one day. Some sheep ran in front of the car, and one sheep in particular wouldn't budge. This big sheep. I got out my car, and I was in my Sunday best, as it were, took the sheep up under the arms, lifted up, tried to get it over the hedge again, and lo and behold, what I realized is this fatty substance, acid-like substance, all over my clothes, all over my hands, covered in it, as it were. And I looked it up afterwards. This is lanolin, and it consists of a highly complex mixture of esters and fatty acids. Who knew? I didn't know that. But it's used within to make adhesive tapes and printing inks and motor oils and auto lubricants, and within cosmetics like mascara and pharmaceuticals, within the sciences, lipsticks, lotion, shampoos, hair conditioners, you name it. It's used for all these things. Amazing, I don't know these things. So next time you put lip balm on or shampoo, remember, you might be putting cheek fat, as it were, lanolin, on your hair or on your lips. Many people use sheep for milk as well. And dairy products such as feta cheese and ricotta cheese and yogurts and that kind of thing. And especially in North African countries and the Middle East, they're commonly used in that sense. Sheepskins. Also, we were in the market in Columpton yesterday. We saw sheepskins there. And they are also used, of course, as well. So why am I telling you about how resourceful sheep are? What's the point of me telling you about this? Well, because, friend, you're made, and I am made in the holy image of Almighty God. We're made to be resourceful. We're made, we're designed for a purpose in mind, to be used of God, to be profitable for our Maker. We're made for a higher purpose. We're made with faculties to listen to God and to hear His voice, as it were. And so, friends, however, as the text suggests, like sheep, we are all prone to go astray, which if we persist in, will lead us to certain eternal danger. What does the text set before us say today in verse 6? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. It doesn't say that some of us have gone astray. If we were in a Christian household, if we did not go to a church, if we were born in a certain country. It says all, every single one of us, every single person that's ever been brought into the world has gone astray. It doesn't matter what nation you belong to, although it helps to be born into a, we don't call Christian Britain a Christian nation anymore, it's a post-Christian nation. It's a pagan nation now. But it doesn't, yes, we appreciate the freedoms that we have, but it doesn't matter what nation you belong to. It doesn't matter what family you belong to. Yes, It's a great favor and a token of God to be born into a Christian home, to be brought up in God's word. But that cannot save you. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. You can belong to a sound, Bible-believing word, be under the gospel every week, and you still can remain unsaved. The nation you belong to, the family you belong to, the church you belong to cannot save you, because all we, like sheep, have gone astray. It is part of our DNA, it's in our blood. It's part of our sinful nature. Because who is it we go astray from? What does the text signify here? Do we go astray from a family or a nation or a church? No, we don't. Well, who or what have sheep gone astray from? Have they not gone astray from a farmer or a shepherd? We see all around us, stuck in the hedge or on the fences, sheep's wool. And we see them always going astray. They have gone astray from the shepherd. They have become unprofitable, as it were. Who is it that owns the sheep? Is it not the farmer or the shepherd? If it were not for the owner of the sheep to hedge them in and to feed and to protect them, what do you think would happen to the sheep? Of course, they would die, wouldn't they? And how resourceful can sheep be? If they're lost, if they die, if they think the grass is greener on the other side, how resourceful can they be to the shepherd, to the farmer? Friends, what is the Lord trying to tell us here? What is the Lord telling us quite simply and plainly and profoundly? He is telling us that if left to ourselves, to our own understanding, to what we think is right, to what other people think is right, it will lead us straight to hell. Friends, that's where we're headed. If we lean on our own understanding, if we just follow the sheep on that broad way that leads to destruction. Because it is written in Romans 3, 10 through 11, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. None of us, because of our sinful nature, seek after God. And you may be one sat here today, or perhaps listening to the sermon online, and thinking within yourself, and perhaps your back is up a little bit, and saying, I am not likened to a sheep. I'm better than that. How dare you liken me to a sheep? Let me tell you something, friends. I'm just the mailman, as it were. I'm not the one I'm not the person who gives the message. I am just the deliverer of this. Let me tell you something. Unless God has revealed to you that you are exactly like sheep described here, prone to go astray from birth, there is absolutely no way I can say with a biblical warrant that you will be entering into heaven. Unless you understand you're exactly like such sheep. Only those who have by God's grace been shown their depravity, that wickedness, that sin, that proneness to go astray, that proneness to look over the hedge, that proneness to look and see the grass is green on the other side, only then can you understand of your need to be saved. Friends, you have to be shown your depravity. And then you can know how to be saved for eternity. Can I ask you something? Has that happened? Has there been a time in your life where God, by his light and by the gospel, has arrested you, has subdued you? Has there been a turning from the things of the world to being as a sheep, just to following the things of this world, to Christ? Do you live for him? Do you live for eternity? Do you live for the things of the soul, the things which will truly last? Or are you still living for temporary things? Are you just following and going along with the crowd? Just following the sheep, as it were? What is it that influences you and I to go astray? What is it that influences us? Is it not other sheep? Is it not other sheep? Just because other people do it, it doesn't mean that you have to do it, friends. God's word says about this in Matthew 7:13, verses 13 and 14.
Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. And verse 14, because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. The text set before us says, dear friends, in Isaiah 53:6, we have turned every one to his own way. Frank Sinatra, the famous jazz singer, said, I did it my way. I did it my way. I just followed it. I did what I think is right. I leaned on my understanding. I did it my way. And many people listened to him. And his way led him straight into hell, didn't it? Our own way, friends, is not the right way. It's not the right way. It says in Proverbs 14, verse 12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If we carry on and abound in our sin, if our lives will not be conformed to God's holy word, if we will stop the voice of conscience and not hear the good shepherd, and we'll gag the voice of conscience, friends, death will come, eternal death and torment. The good shepherd of our souls has given us the Ten Commandments. He has given us his word. They hedge us in. They teach us of the divine character and the standards of our Maker. And yet, all we, like sheep, have gone astray from them. We ignore our conscience, our God-given conscience. We kick against the pricks of conscience, like Saul did for many years. We may live religious lives. We may go to church. We may be religious. We may do many things. And yet we can still not have experienced the new birth, a change of direction wrought by the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, truly being born of God. Has that happened? Friends, we have coveted that which God hates. We have all looked over the hedge of God's word and thought the grass to be greener on the other side. And because of our own sinful natures, we have not hearkened to God's good word to us. We are all gone out of the way and have become unprofitable, friends. All of us, don't think that by just going to church or reading your Bible, don't think that's enough. You have to experience the new birth. There has to be a certain change in direction in your life. Christ has to be number one. He can't be second. He can't be third in your life. You have to put him first. You have to seek him and with fear and trembling work out your salvation. Friends, because we are all corrupted. We have all become unprofitable, unresourceful, as it were. How resourceful can sheep be to a farmer or a shepherd if they are lost? How resourceful can they be? What can they profit the farmer if they have gone over the hedge of his word and are now in grave eternal danger? What use can they be if they have strayed far from the words of him that have sought their good? They can be of no use because they have become unprofitable. And if you think I'm pointing the finger at anyone here, think again. I'm pointing three fingers are pointing straight back at me, because this was me for many, many years. I ignored the voice of God. I thought I was a Christian. I thought I was a Christian. I had been to church. I had read God's word. I thought I was a Christian, friends. But I wasn't a Christian. Have you truly become born again? A new creature, new desires, new principles in your life. Do you hold by faith, lay hold on the Lamb of God? By faith. Is he your all in all, as it were? Because all of us are unprofitable. All of us have strayed. All of us have become completely unprofitable to the shepherd by our own sinful natures. This is us, friends. All of us. All of us have become unprofitable. We have all strayed from the good shepherd of our souls. Our sinful straying has left us fatally wounded, half dead, at the mercies of an unmerciful world. And you who are Christians amongst us will know exactly what I'm talking about. We are like that man left half dead when the Good Samaritan comes. We're left half dead. The world has not satisfied. The broken systems of this world have not satisfied us. We're left to the world's mercies, this unmerciful world, friends. And we need a saviour. We have been deceived, haven't we? We have been deceived. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life has not turned out
the way that we thought it would. In fact, the opposite is true. Our sin and straying away from God has left us more empty and sick. The more we turned our back and stray from the good shepherd of our souls, Christ, the worse our sinful condition will get, until it's too late. Because when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We all end up like this, friends, whether we confess it or not, because we're all born with a heart that is prone to stray. However, that's not it, friends, because there is hope in the latter part of our sermon's text today in Isaiah 53:6. There is sure hope. It reads, "And the Lord hath laid on him," that is Christ, "the iniquity of us all. And the Lord hath laid on him," that is the Lord Jesus, "the iniquity of us all." As we read earlier in Leviticus 1:3-4, the Lord Jesus Christ is that lamb without blemish, that perfect, spotless lamb, that perfect sacrifice which was acceptable to make an atonement for our sin. Let's read about that, shall we, in Leviticus 1:3-4. It reads as follows. "If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Verse 4, "And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him." Dear friends, a male without blemish. You can imagine the scene here. The believing Jew, the believing Israelite, who believed like Abraham in the promises of God, it was accounted to him for righteousness. He would bring the best of his field, as it were. He'd bring a male, as it were, a lamb, as it were, without blemish. And he would bring it to the high priest. He would do it of his own voluntary will. And when he would bring it to the high priest, and he would lay his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, the lamb, as it were, and all of his sins by faith, trusting that his sins would not be imputed to him, but they would be put upon the lamb, as it were. He believed in that. And then, of course, the lamb would have the sin, and the lamb would have to then be disembowered and sacrificed, both the inward and the outward, and burnt, as it were. And this, dear friends, was a picture of Christ. He was that perfect lamb without blemish, the perfect, the best God had to offer. He willingly gave his own perfect life for us sinners. He endured hell, as it were. He suffered on the cruel cross of Calvary. He went down to hell to pay for our sins. There, dear friends, here is the Lamb of God, which we take hold of by faith. We put our hands on it, as it were, by faith. And our sin is put upon the Lamb of God, friends. And of course, the Lamb has to be punished. And so the faithful Israelite, the believing Israelite in the promises of God, which is accounted to them for righteousness, they would believe and it would be accounted to them for righteousness. And they would then see the lamb being disembowered. The lamb, the graphic scene of it being cut up, as it were. This is because of my sin. This is because of my sin. This is how offensive my sin is to God. Seeing it cut up and then burnt, the inwards and the outward, dear friends, the inwards would be washed. It would all be burnt. Is this not a picture of Christ punished, as it were, dear friends, for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities? This is a picture of Christ, dear friends. If I can ask you a question, have you laid hold on Jesus Christ by faith? Have you laid hold on him for the forgiveness of sins so that your sins will be put upon him? That's what he did on the cross of Calvary. All of our sins were put upon him and he was bruised and punished. Friends, upon the Lamb of God. That's why John the Baptist said of Jesus, when he saw him coming, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." Behold him. Have you seen him with your mind's eye? Have you seen the Lamb of God? Do you have faith in him? Put your hands upon him. Your sins may be transferred to him. He took the punishment in your place, friends. He bore the punishment of God that has to punish sin, friends, and he bore them and suffered hell. The word of flesh, the word of God could become flesh, tried in a furnace of fire 7 times, purified, friends. Friends, if you trust in Christ, you have the word of Christ, you've got the Lamb of God in your heart. Do you trust in him? Have you laid hold upon him by faith? What saith the scriptures, dear friends? Jesus said in Mark 10 verse 15, my family and I read this last night in our family devotional time, and I wanted to tell it to you today. It reads in Mark 10 verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Is the Lord Jesus saying that only little children can go into heaven? No, he's not saying that. What he's saying, dear friends, is we need to be born again. We need to take hold of Christ and believe on what he did in the cross, at the cross of Calvary, was for you and me, a sinner. Have you taken hold upon Christ, the Lamb of God, by faith? Have you been born of the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity? Have you become a new creature like a little child who depends upon their Heavenly Father? A little child is loosened from the things of the world, is unconcerned of the things of the world, has no interest in the things of the world, desires the sincere milk of the Word. Like a mother, like a baby, a mother. Has that happened to you, friend? Has there been a change of heart, a new direction in life? Have you been born again and become a new creature? Do you depend upon your Father in heaven? Have you laid hold upon Christ and become a little child born of the Holy Spirit of God? Has that happened, friends? Please do not presume that you are saved if you have not experienced the new birth, friends. Friends, I know this is not a popular message to hear nowadays. I know that most of our lukewarm Christianity in the West nowadays will despise such a message. However, I am bound by God to proclaim the truth in love to you, in love for your souls, the greatest part of you, that which is going to last forever, not your flesh, your souls, because your eternal welfare is at stake. Will you listen to the Good Shepherd's voice this day, friends? Will you listen to the Lord Jesus? Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Jesus Christ says in John 10:11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Why does the good shepherd give his life for the sheep? Because the sheep have become corrupted. They are lost. They have become unprofitable, of no use. And so the good shepherd gives his life, dear friends. He was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Have you laid hold upon Christ? By faith, have you looked to him, dear friends? Only if you lay hold upon the Lamb of God. Only if you seek for him to save you. You cannot save yourself. It has to be Christ. Friends, have you done that? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Are you his sheep? Have you sought him with all your hearts? You have to be born again, dear friends. I hope and pray that this is the case. Amen.